You are now listening to the Getting Understanding podcast. Now here's your host.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Getting Understanding. I'm your host, Leonard Olivares, and today I'm going to be interviewing Victoria Robertson. She is part of the Save the Storks. Victoria, thank you for coming on the show. How are you doing?
Hey, Leonard. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. Thanks.
Now, can you explain, just talk about what is Save the Storks? I know my audience probably has never heard of that. Maybe some of them have, but I recently just heard of it, and my wife is the one that told me from you guys coming to the church. So just go ahead and explain what is Save the Storks.
Save the Storks is an organization that was founded by Joe and Aunt Baker about 7 years ago now. They were privy to a bus that was parked in front of an abortion clinic that was offering free ultrasounds. And women that were going to this abortion clinic were some coming onto this bus asking for help, and they would give them free ultrasounds, and they were finding out these women were choosing life after boarding these buses. So Joe and Ann decided, hey, why don't we do this in a first-class way? We're going to build these buses using Mercedes Sprinters, and let's have a dream to have them across the country that every pregnancy resource center could have, partner with us and have one of these buses to offer free options counseling as well as free ultrasound. So Save the Storks is just offering options to women who think their only choice is abortion, which we know now that 64% of women in this country felt like abortion was their only option. And we want them to know that that isn't their only option. There are other options. So that's the counseling we offer on these Storks buses. So we're partnering with pregnancy resource centers across the country, helping them to raise the funds so that they can have their own medical mobile units. And we're just changing and revolutionizing the pro-life movement.
So when Joe and Ann Baker, when they first started this, did they have any funding, or was it just like their own money?
It was their own money. They started with their own money. And instead of a normal, typical honeymoon, they took the money and started, found a bus and outfitted it and started traveling, telling people about their vision. People were catching the vision, donating, and it went from there. Now we're just projected this year to probably build 8 to 10 more buses. We have 53 and counting across the country right now, and we are literally exploding.
Wow. So so they literally just like stopped working, and whatever money they had savings, they bought this van, and they just started traveling around the country just on faith, right?
Just on faith and on it with a dream and with a mission in mind. And it came to fruition because here we are today with headquarters in Colorado Springs, and we are just spreading all throughout the United States.
Now, how did they begin to start get funding? Were they going to like different churches and just, you know, sharing the vision with them?
Absolutely. They were sharing it with individuals, with businesses, with churches, and people were catching the vision and saying, I want to be involved in this. This is a great alternative to women walking into abortion clinics. We know that 4 out of 5 women who step on board a Storks bus choose life. And these are women that have abortion appointments, that are about to walk into an abortion clinic to have an abortion, or they're considering abortion. 4 out of 5 of these women are walking onto a Storks bus and deciding to keep their baby. Whether they choose an adoption plan or not, that is something that's discussed later. But I'm talking about, they make the choice right then when they see their baby on an ultrasound, because these buses are outfitted with state-of-the-art equipment and they have trained medical staff. These aren't volunteers. They're paid medical staff that are answering their questions without judgment, condemnation. They're giving them all the information that they need, to the answers that they need, and in an honest way without coercing them to do anything one way or the other, just telling them the truth. And they're choosing life.
Wow, that's amazing. So Joe and Ann Baker, there was somebody else doing that too already, giving out ultrasounds?
You know, I'm not sure who the group was. I believe it was a pregnancy center up in New York that had this old beat up van that they were using, that they had gotten an ultrasound that was donated to them, and they were just doing the best they could with what they had. Joe saw the vision to make it, to take it up a huge notch, which is why he went with Mercedes Sprinters. Number one, they're a great piece of equipment that we don't have to worry about breaking down. The longevity, they have the longevity. And we want to give these women the best. When they go to an abortion clinic, they've got billions and billions of dollars of funding from our government. So they have funding that pregnancy resource centers do not have. So this way, they're able to feel when they walk onto a bus, it's not some creepy van and they've got to worry about their safety. It's an actual credible van, state of the art, and it's also, as I said, manned with trained medical staff.
Wow. So this is a lot different than most people, you know. I mean, most people think, so you guys park in front of abortion clinics, right?
Well, we don't. We let the Pregnancy Resource Center decide. Our job is to partner with the Pregnancy Resource Centers and help them raise the funds for their mobile medical unit. They decide, because they know their communities better than we do, where they want to park them. Some of them park them at high schools, college campuses. They'll go to shopping malls and just educate the public about what they do. And then, yes, many of them park near abortion clinics and offer women free ultrasound before they walk into an abortion clinic. And what we have found, Leonard, is that the heartbeat changes everything. And when a woman sees the heartbeat of her child, it's very hard to deny that that's a living, breathing human being and that that's her child. So we're making a heart connection with the mom to realize this is not a blob of tissue or a clump of cells like they're being told. It is an actual live baby.
Right. You know, this is a lot different than what you usually are used to. Most people are, you know, when they go to an abortion clinic and they're trying to stop a woman from aborting their baby, they usually have all these signs and saying you're murdering your child. And, you know, this right here is offering an actual service to be able to, you know, see the baby. It's a different strategy than what most people are used to. You know, I think
it's totally different. We're letting the babies do the convincing. We're letting the babies talk to their mothers. We are just showing them the reality of what they're carrying. You'll never catch anyone, myself included, you will never see Save the Storks with pictures of dead aborted babies on signs screaming at women. That is not what we do. We are all about compassion, love, and then using action with our stork buses.
Right. Which is completely different strategy than what most people are used to seeing, because you know, you would figure a woman going to an abortion clinic, she's already, you know, her decision, she's not sure of her decision. And she's going in there and there's people out there, you're a murderer, and showing dead babies. I mean, it's very hard for a woman to stop and just be like, okay, so what are you talking about? And, you know, because they're already feeling like, you know, like condemned already. And they probably walk in with their head down, and while these people are yelling at them, and it just makes things even harder. But to have somebody there to be like, hey, you know, do you want a free ultrasound before, you know, I mean, just how does this work? How does how do you guys approach the women walking into there?
Basically, what you just said. Many times they'll see the bus and they'll come over and ask, hey, what is this? Because there's a sign on the buses they're outfitted with that says free ultrasound, free pregnancy test, options counseling. So they'll see it, and it says free. Now they know they're about to walk into an abortion clinic and spend, gosh, anywhere from in the thousands, depending on how far along they are. So free is free. And they'll walk over, or there'll be someone there at the bus that just says, hi, we just wanted to say hello, and if there's anything we can do to help you, we're offering free ultrasound here today. We'd love to offer that to you. No condemnation here. We just want to offer you a free service. And then we let them decide. Nobody drags them on the bus or guilts them onto the bus, because you're right. Dead babies screaming at women that they're murderers that are walking into an abortion clinic isn't going to necessarily work. Now, I will say this. There are those people that do that will tell me, well, you're wrong. We have saved babies. Well, praise God for that they have. You won't ever catch me doing it. And I think that you win a lot more women with love, compassion, and action than screaming at them and condemning them. Because as you said, these women are already tuning them out. They don't need to hear that. and they're walking in, and the abortion clinic workers, many times, if not every time, will walk out and guide them in, talk to them, and keep them from listening to the screaming and the yelling get them inside the abortion clinic.
Now, have you guys ever bumped into them at the same time as people out there, you know, protesting the abortion clinics? Have you guys, have you ever, like, ran into them before at the same time?
Well, I can tell you that I am not manning the buses. So personally, no. Have I heard stories about these things happening? Of course, absolutely. We just keep it very friendly. We also teach pregnancy resource centers in our training. You don't want to get in any confrontation with these people. It's just, how is that going to, if a woman sees you fighting with the abortion workers, she's not going to want to talk to either one of you. That gets no one anywhere. So we always teach our pregnancy resource center directors and that come with the sort buses, because we go back after they receive their buses and give them basic training. And we let them know that's not how you're going to win these women's trust. And they're not going to come on your bus if they see you guys yelling at each other. So just walk away. And they always do. It's not usually the people that are manning the buses getting in the argument. The facts are it's usually the abortion clinic workers screaming at the women with the buses.
Right, right. So how did you get involved in this organization?
Well, I've been involved in the pro-life work for about 20 years. I've been a director and executive director of 3 different pregnancy resource centers. So about 2 years ago, I lived in Nashville, Tennessee. I felt like my time was coming to an end as the CEO of 2 separate, I was running 2 centers. And I was kind of confused by that, Leonard, because I thought, wait, I've been doing this work for 20 years. I'm speaking across the country. I've written a book on the effects that abortion has on women. Why do I feel like my time is almost up here? And I thought, what's going to be next for me? But I knew in my heart that my time was up. So I resigned, and donors started calling me and emailing me asking, hey, what's going on? Is it safe to still send our money to this pregnancy center? Because when you become the face of a pregnancy center like an executive director does, and you leave, people want to know why. So I wrote a blog about why I was leaving and explaining so that to calm anyone down that wondered if there was a reason, you know, some shady reason why I left, which there was not at all. Even my board said, we don't accept your letter of resignation. We haven't heard from God. You're not going anywhere. So there was nothing, it was nothing like that. I just knew God said to my heart, your time here is up and I need you to resign. Not even knowing what was next. I didn't have another job. I didn't know anything. Joe Baker read my blog. I met Joe years ago at a CareNet conference. We stayed in contact. I loved what they were doing at Save the Storks. He'd always said, you're supposed to work with us. And I'd be like, Joe, I'm where I'm supposed to be, but I love what you guys are doing and I'll support you any way I can. Well, he read my blog. Long story short, he called me and said, I'm flying you to Colorado Springs. I want you to meet the board. I want you to meet our executive team. The rest is history. I've now been with Storks almost a year.
Wow. Wow. That's amazing. So what got you started wanting to work in pro-life and wanting to be in this fight?
I'm post-abortive myself. Over 30 years ago, I was a single mom with 2 little girls, and my husband at the time, their father had abandoned us, took off to move to California to start a new life, didn't support us financially, emotionally, in any way, and I was putting my children in daycare 12, 14 hours a day so I could work to make ends meet and put food on the table for us. It was a really, really hard time, which is why I have such a love and appreciation for the single mom. It's a tough job. Well, at one of my jobs, I met a guy, fell madly in love. At the time, my self-esteem had been shot to pieces. My husband had abandoned and left us. And I thought, you know, this guy's telling me all the right things, got involved. 9 months later, I was pregnant. I didn't know what I was going to do, how I was going to handle it. When I told him, he said, you know, it's not a good time for us. We're so new in our relationship. I do want to marry you one day, but you need to have an abortion. So I chose abortion at 6 weeks pregnant, and it changed my life forever. Immediately when I walked out of that abortion clinic, and even before I got on the elevator of the building, I knew my life had changed. It was never going to be the same, and I was devastated. So for 13 years, I kept my secret, never told a soul, kept it to myself for fear that I'd be rejected, thrown out of my church, all I'd lose all my friends, walked into a pregnancy resource center, and got in the post-abortion counseling, and it changed my life forever. And here I am, almost over 20 years later.
Amen. Amen. You know, I was doing the research on, you know, the genesis of how this all started. Start off with Margaret Sanger, and then there was these studies done by Alfred Kinsey, and it was saying that his study was saying that when women abort their baby, it's like it's actually freedom for them. This is what was done in his study, and saying that women are more free after they commit an abortion. You know, and when I was reading that, I'm like, well, how can this man, you know, say some stuff like this about these women, that they actually are better after an abortion? So, you know, we hear this now, you know, being said to women before they have an abortion, that, you know, that everything's going to be okay and you'll be able to live your life and there's no after effect of, you know, the decision that you're going to make in your life. You know, it's not life. But, you know, the crazy thing is that Margaret Sanger, she knew that it was life because she had said that, you know, when the two cells meet, that's when life happens. You know, she was a big thing about
a birth.
Right. And so she knew that it was murder because she even said herself that the best thing a big family can do for a child is to murder it. But it's crazy that, you know, that now you don't hear that, even though the founder of you know, what we have now, Planned Parenthood, which is called Planned Parenthood, you know, knew that it was murder.
She did. She not only knew it was murder, her goal was to wipe out races of people. And the top of her list was the black race. And one of the things that infuriates me, to be honest, Leonard, is, you know, hear about the hashtag Black Lives Matter and all these things. And, hey, that's great. I believe that white lives matter as well. I believe cops lives matter. I believe everybody's life matters. What I have found for myself personally, that I scratch my head and I get so frustrated about, is where is the black community raising that kind of, you know what, against abortion? When in the state of New York last year alone, more black babies were aborted than born. So if you want to sit and tell me that's not our own genocide, our own infanticide, you are out of your mind. So I just don't get it. I don't get how we've buried. You can easily go find out everything you need to know, just like you said about Margaret Sanger, about where abortion originated, about what it really is and isn't. Scientific, there's scientific proof today that scientists have said and proven. I'm not talking about Christian scientists, or I'm talking about scientists, secular scientists have said at conception, it's a human life. And let's think about this for a minute. We're protecting ostrich eggs, turtle eggs, moths, butterflies, the whales, the seals, et cetera, et cetera. If you get caught destroying a turtle egg, you're fined hundreds of dollars, if not put in jail. It's insane. But yet we begin as an egg, a fertilized egg, and they're saying that's not a human. We're the only egg that we're trying to convince people is not human. It's mind-boggling.
Right, right. And, you know, and that's so true what you're saying, that, you know, most people that get abortions, I mean, the biggest majority are minorities. And it's in lower class, you know, neighborhoods where the abortion clinics are. You know,
they were purposely put there. Margaret Sanger has purposely put abortion clinics in lower income communities. She did that on purpose. And the other thing I wanted to say, when you were mentioning about Kinsey saying it has no effect. Yeah, well, I'd really love to know who the women are that he interviewed, the very few that he interviewed, because I can tell you in 20 some years of being involved in this work, of being a post-abortive woman for over 30 years now, I have met one woman in my career who said to me adamantly, that she was not affected at all. It never did anything. And she was screaming at me in this anger that spewed out of her that I'm wrong about saying it hurts women. And I looked at her with the as kind as I could and said, so did you ever have more children? And she said, no, I didn't. And she was just so angry. And I just looked at her and felt such sadness for her that she didn't even realize where this hatred was even possibly coming from.
Yeah, she was.
So people can say all day long it doesn't affect, but it isn't just affecting women, Leonard. It also has, it's affected men as well. So we can't stop forgetting about them. We talk a lot about the baby's life being taken and the mother having to deal with it, which the effects of post-abortion stress are horrible. But there are men who are also suffering, and I've made it my mission to start to make sure we're talking about them as well. I called the father of my aborted child after I wrote my book. I wanted him to know that my book was coming out, and I had changed his name and all of that in the book. And we had not spoken for over a decade since our abortion because we broke up months after the abortion, which people need to understand, 9 out of 10 times when an abortion happens with a couple, they don't make it. It's too traumatic of an experience staying together. So a girl will have an abortion to keep the relationship and ends up 9 out of 10 times losing the relationship anyway, then loses her baby. So she's got to deal with all of that. Well, we haven't spoken, but all those years for over a decade, I had grown such hatred for this guy because I was dealing with the ramifications of choosing abortion. I had felt like he'd gone on with his life, forgotten about what it did to me. It wasn't his body. It was his cross to bear. Well, when I called him to tell him about the book, he heard my voice and he started to weep. And he said, I have been waiting for this call for over 10 years to beg you for forgiveness for what I made you do, to tell you how it's haunted me that I should have taken care of you and protected you and our child. And I've been in therapy for 8 years dealing with it. Can you please forgive me?
Yeah, I mean, the abortion has a major effect on women and men, you know.
It does. It's a ripple effect on our entire society. We so devalue life in this country today. That's why you see people cheering about a bill in New York, about these bills they're passing in other states to kill children up to the birth date and even after they're born. I mean, when you can't get your head wrapped around that, and that doesn't do something to the inside of you to make you want to do something, then something's wrong with you. I'm sorry. Something is seriously wrong with you.
So you're talking about like partial birth abortion, right? Well, I mean,
I'm talking about partial birth. I'm talking about the bill that was just passed in New York that women can now abort children up to birth. Women can now abort children if they survive an abortion and a botched abortion. The doctor now does not have to resuscitate the child. He can finish the job if the child's born alive.
So
these bills have just been passed
right,
in the last few weeks.
So you're saying that you're saying the baby can be born and they can just kill the baby as soon as the baby's born?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying that if you have an abortion and the child does not die in the womb before the child's born, the doctor and the mother can decide, well, I still don't want it, and go ahead and kill the child, finish the job, not resuscitate the child. See, they've been doing this for decades, Leonard. Partial birth, late-term abortion, abortions after birth, this has been going on for decades. But now they have laws to protect the Gosnells, the Dr. Gosnells, who is sitting in jail, by the way, in New York for the same bill they just passed and made legal. That's what he's in jail for. He got caught doing late-term abortion. Now, legally, he could have done them. You mark my words, it won't be long. They will be doing whatever they need to do, the powers that be in government, the powers that be that pass those bills, and those powers that be from Planned Parenthood. You mark my words, they will be getting Gosnell out. He made them millions and millions of dollars performing late-term abortions. This bill is just one of their ways of opening that road to get their hero, Gosnell, out of jail so he can go back to doing what he does best, which is killing babies.
know, that's incredible, man. I mean, you think about it, this is an actual, I have 10 children. So, my wife is pregnant now. And,
what? Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. But, you know, just to think about, you know, I mean, a lot of people, if you've never had a baby, you know, when a baby is born, you know, that's, you know, that baby, it has everything, you know, it's fully, has all its limbs, it's fully formed.
But Leonard, let me tell you this. There have been children in our country documented that were born at 20 weeks gestation, and they're healthy, normal children. The medical technology we have today and the medical care today, children born at 20 weeks are surviving. So it doesn't have to be 40-week pregnancy. There were doctors that came out when the New York bill was passed, and they took a stand and said, there is no medical reason to abort a child for the life of the mother, to save the life of the mother. We would simply perform an emergency cesarean and deliver the child. This is just the wording that they're using in these bills that Planned Parenthood helps them write so that they can make sure they continue their multi-billion dollar death industry. Those are just the facts. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that this is what they're doing. But most people just, I don't want to be bothered with that. It doesn't affect my life. It does affect your life. Because what's next? Children that are born with special needs, are they next? We're already in some countries killing the elderly. I mean, what people need to realize, this does affect you. That's why you need to stand up and speak out. That's why you need to stand up and get involved. That's why you need to vote for the right people so that you know what you're voting for.
Right. And that's what it's going to eventually lead to. You know, people are going to be like, you know, a child that's 2 years old, they're going to say, well, they're not fully functioned. Their brain can't, you know, they can't speak, you know, they can't say full sentences. So, you know, I don't want this baby because my baby has special needs. So I should be able to get rid of it. And this, you know, eventually the state's going to be like, well, we can't afford to take care of these children. So our best bet is to just, you know,
is to euthanize them like right. We do an animal. I mean, right. that would be far-fetched decades ago. But, and people would say, you're crazy. Even like I said, the last 20 years when I've said to people, you guys, there's late term abortions going on today. Before any of these bills came to pass, people would look at me and go, Victoria, you were just trying to exaggerate the cause to get people on your side. No, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. This is what's going on in our country today. We're not trying to take a woman's right away. You know, that's the biggest thing I hear from people. You shouldn't take a person's right away. Well, you know what? You're right. God gave us all free will. The God I serve gave me free will to choose to do whatever I want. The Word of God says all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. So I'm telling you, okay, I'm not going to argue with you that I have the right to take someone's right away because our God gave us all free will. We're not robots. But what I'm saying to you is this. Women need to be educated. Men need to be educated. They need to be told the truth about what an abortion is and what it isn't. They need to be told the truth about how it can affect their life down the road for decades. And they're not being told. We put more warnings on cigarette boxes than we do when a woman walks into an abortion clinic. We're supposed to be protecting the most innocent citizen in our country. The Constitution calls for that, to protect us at all costs. Yet we take an egg that is human and we destroy it. We take an embryo that is human and we destroy it. We take a fetus that is human and we destroy it. And now we're taking babies and we're destroying them.
You know, this is a spiritual thing, man. This is no question. Yeah, this is very demonic. And the reason why I say that is because if you look at how it all started, you know, I recently interviewed these people that are from the Theosophy Society and to find out what they believe. And a lot of people don't understand what Theosophy is. Theosophy is what, you know, helped Margaret Sanger do what she was doing, helped Alfred Kinsey, helped, you know, Adolf Hitler, you know, and with the same idea of this super race, you know, and that's where it all started. It was from Theosophy. Yeah. Now, if you look into Theosophy, they are Luciferian, and they proudly say it. You know, they're not ashamed of it because they don't look at it as an evil thing. But this thing is rooted in, you know, it's demonic. You know,
it is. There's no question. And I mean, think about it, Leonard. We had slavery. We treated people in the past, the way people were treated was horrific. And we looked at these people and said, "You're not human, so we're going to make you slaves." They looked at these people, the Jews, "You're not human, so we're going to incinerate you. We're going to do whatever we choose to do to you." Children, women, men. I mean, that's the same thing we're doing now. I have said for 20 years, this abortion is our country's American Holocaust. We are killing 3,500 babies a day, every single day, Leonard, in this country. 3,500 children will lose their lives today. And most people are not blinking an eye. Now, thank God for those that are doing the work that I'm doing and that are standing up. And I've got pro-choice friends who have written me the most beautiful letters and said, when that abortion bill came out in New York, they've said to me, "Vic, you know, I've always been pro-choice and you and I have debated it, but this is crossing the line. This is even too much for me. This is even causing me to change my political affiliation." So I'm telling you, people right now are finally opening their eyes because, Leonard, they cannot plead ignorance any longer. We cannot pretend this is not going on. The question is, what are you going to do about it?
Right. I mean, there's going to be spiritual ramifications for this, man. It's this, you know, I mean, God, this is not going to go just by the Lord, you know. I mean, God hears all the cries, you know.
And He does. And I believe that my child did not die in vain because of the work that God has me doing now across the country. I know that my own testimony, when I speak at churches or women's conferences, youth conferences, I just spoke at a school last week in Santa Ana, California, to an entire junior and high school students who are at a Christian school. And I shared my story with them. And some of these students, when I did a Q&A afterwards, after the assemblies, raised their hands and said, in a Christian school, Leonard, and said, "Well, I just don't think it's a baby till after 3 months. So I think abortion's fine up to 3 months, but I don't think women should be allowed to have them after 3 months." So I had a conversation with her in front of the whole class about when life begins. Another girl raised her hand and said, "Well, I think a girl should be able to have an abortion when she's raped. Why would she want to have the baby of a rapist?" And I said, "Well, why should her child pay for the sins of its father? That's still her child. Then she's got to live with the fact that she had an abortion." Because I've met women who were raped that had abortion. I've met women who were raped who did not choose abortion, who either chose to keep their child or place it up for adoption. I've only heard regret from the woman who was raped who had an abortion.
Right.
Not from those who did not. Because women have to understand that's half your baby too. And rape is less. It's like a 1% or very small, less than 1%, Leonard. When a woman is raped, does she become pregnant? Something happens with our bodies in a traumatic experience. And I believe personally, with different things I've read about from the many women I've met in 20 years that didn't get pregnant, but that had gone through a rape and shared their rape experiences, something happens in the body. They have these out-of-body experiences. Their body basically shuts down. And I think that's why less than 1% of women become pregnant in a rape. So think about that, Leonard. If you're a woman who, God forbid, you're raped, but God forbid, and I'm so sorry for anyone listening who's possibly been in that situation, but if you become raped, pregnant from a rape, I would want you to think about that statistic. That child is actually like, it's almost like a miracle that that even happened. So why not give birth to the child, place it up for adoption, rather than have to live with the fact that you not only have to deal with the trauma from a rape, but then a trauma of choosing abortion later on down the road.
Right. You know, I think a lot of people see abortion as convenience, you know, that it's going to affect their lives and this is going to help me. This is the stuff that's being preached to us. You know, I mean, me and my wife, we've had an abortion before, and this is like before I came to the Lord in the past. And the reason why my thought process at that time was like, you know, I'm with somebody else because we both had different relationships, and I felt like, oh, this is going to just, you know, interfere with my life. And it was very selfish, the mm-hmm. decision that I was making. It all had to do with myself. It all had nothing to do with the child. I didn't have any concern about the mother. And we did this as a choice together, you know. And I can say that, you know, for a long time that my life was in a whirlwind. You know, I had mm-hmm. anger, deep rooted anger inside of me. And it only when I came to the Lord and God was able to take those things that were deep rooted inside of me out, that, you know, I was able to actually weep and you know, and ask for forgiveness from the Lord for doing that. You know, but I think the mindset that, you know, people have from being young, and this is so normalized that you feel like it's a perfect example of what you just said, going to a Christian school. Now, you would think in a Christian school that you would have Christian parents and that they would be setting these moral values to their children. But the problem is that's not a reality. The reality is so many people are so busy doing their own thing, so busy about me, selfishness. Yep. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're a non-believer, they have the same mentality as I had when I was out there on the streets as a non-believer, of only thinking about myself. I wasn't thinking about God because God was the farthest thing from my mind. I didn't even care at that time.
Yep.
But you have people that are so-called believers that know, that say they call themselves with the name of Christ. They bear that name of Jesus, that I am a Christian. They bear that name of Christ on them, and have this type of thinking where, well, it's not a big deal, you know. It just shows that, you know, this, the stuff that has been pumped out to our children since birth until now, it's having an effect. And us as believers, and I'm talking to believers now, us as believers, as Christian parents, it is our responsibility, not the church's responsibility. It is our responsibility, not your pastor's responsibility. It is your responsibility to teach your children the morals and teach your children, you know, about the Lord and what is right and what is wrong, you know. Because if you allow just your children, I'm having my son or daughter go to a Christian school and they're going to teach them the morals, or we're going to church on Wednesday and Sunday and they're going to go only for 30 minutes and they're going to get, you know, morally fed. But when they're constantly looking at, you know, worldly things all day long through their phones, through their TV, through their internet, everything. And the parents are just oblivious to what's going on in their life because they're so focused on what they need to do. Now, it's sad.
They're absolutely. Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And they're expecting the Christian school to do it for them.
Right.
And that's not fair. That's not fair. And I was stunned. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I hear lots of different things in the public school, but I was taken aback by those two things. And I just thought, wow, God, I need to not just, you've got to keep putting me in all the schools. I mean, public, private, Christian, wherever. We have created and we have educated this society of ours over the last several decades to be a culture of very selfish people that, as you're saying, it's all about me. It's all about me. What's in it for me? I'm not doing this. I'm getting something back. Me. And you're absolutely right. So we've treated abortion like it's going to have a tooth pulled, and some easy little, no big deal. It's not going to hurt you at all. And some of these people are walking into abortion clinics, Leonard, and they're walking out and saying, that was nothing. But see, I see them 6 months later, 5 years later, 10 years later, when they now are married and having a child they want. And then they go have an ultrasound, and the doctor's showing them, there's your baby, you're 12 weeks. And they're thinking, wait, what? Oh my gosh, that's a trigger. That was 12 weeks. I was 12 weeks when I had an abortion. And then it hits them what they've done. But this is the society we live in. And you think it hasn't been done on purpose? I mean, it's been done on purpose so that majority of people in our country could get to the place where they're celebrating. They're not even hiding anymore. They're celebrating on national TV a bill that gives people the right to kill children up to birth and after birth.
Right. Even when you give your life to the Lord, it's still with you. Like even with me, you know, my wife being pregnant and we having our baby, we always bring up the fact of what happened. And it's not that we're living in condemnation. It's always there. You know, and
of course, absolutely. I'm the same way. I have children, four daughters. They're all, three are married. One is out. All of my girls are adults. I have five grandchildren and three on the way. I mean, it still doesn't ever go away. It's always there. I'm a believer. I have been serving the Lord since 93. But it's always there. It's so interesting you say that, because I had a meeting yesterday. And we were talking about this very thing, and I was saying how, yes, God is using what the enemy meant for good to destroy me into good by using my story and to help others. But I, honest to God, would rather have a different job. I wish I didn't have this story to tell, Leonard, but I do. So it's always there. I mean, there's still those moments that I am triggered by something and I'm crying and weeping for that child that was lost. And then I pick myself up and I know God's forgiven me and I've forgiven me and gone through the healing process. That doesn't mean we don't grieve, because just like a reformed alcoholic who's not drinking anymore still craves that drink, right, we're always going to crave that child in our arms. So that's never going to go away.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't go away, you know, even as a believer, even though that God has forgiven us, it's like a scar that you have on your hand, or a major scar on your body. You know, it's healed, but it's still there, you know.
Exactly.
It's still there.
Exactly.
You know, so how can people, if they want to, you know more about Save the Storks, how can they, you know more about this organization?
I would say the easiest way is go to SaveTheStorks.com. You can find out anything you need to know about us there. You can, employee staff profile is there. If you would like to write me, you can. If you're someone who's had an abortion or you're considering abortion and you need somebody to talk to, reach out to us. We can find the resources that you need in the area where you live. We are on Facebook, Save the Storks. I would encourage you to follow us. We put a lot of things there that are very interesting to people, that they enjoy getting educated about and learning more about us. And we're on social media as well as on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. So it's easy to find us. I hope that you will. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe you're someone who wants to get a bus in your community, or you want to bring someone like me to your community, to your church, your school, to come and speak. I would love to hear from anybody. You can reach me at victoria@savethestorks.com. That's my email address.
Well, thank you, Victoria, for coming on. I think this is very important information. And, you know, you guys do a service, and it's all because of, you know, of the Holy Spirit, you know, putting that inside, you know, Joe and Ann's heart, you know, and them being faithful and listening. And this is what happens when you're faithful to the calling of God. This is what happens when you are obedient to what the Holy Spirit is saying. When you, a lot of people feel like, well, what can I do? Well, you can do a lot. If you just step out in faith, don't worry about all the other distractions that's going to come to your mind. If you step out in faith, and you know, the thing about faith is, when God says to have faith as a child, when you tell a child, hey, Santa Claus is going to put presents underneath the tree, they believe you 100%. And the reason why they believe you is because they trust you. And that's the thing about faith in God, is that in order to have faith, we need to have trust. Is we're going to say, God, I trust that you're going to take care of this. You've given me this vision, and I trust that you're going to play it out. I'm not going to worry about where all this stuff is going to happen. I trust you. And that's the thing. We all, as believers, need to start trusting our Father. And we need to start obeying, but just believing that he will do a work, and he will. When you trust and you believe, God is able to use you. And that's what he's looking for. He's looking for people to trust him so that he can show mightily, you know, the work that he wants to do through you. So, Victoria, I thank you for being faithful, you know, to the calling. And I pray and I hope that more people will be, you know, encouraged. You know, we need people to, you know, to be moved, you know, to be moved by, you know, look at a situation, and if you're bothered by it and you're hurt by it, and you know, the best thing to do is to have action, not just sit there, not just talk about it, but to actually do something about it. So Victoria, I thank you.
Yes.
I thank you for doing that, you know, and continually to you know, to work on these young women's hearts. And we got a long road ahead of us, but by the grace of God and by the power of God, the work is going to get done. So I thank you, Victoria Robertson, for coming on the show, sharing your testimony, sharing, you know, what Save the Storks is. So everybody, this is Victoria Robertson from Save the Storks. Thank you, Victoria, for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Leonard, for having me. I appreciate it. And let's just all remember, we win. Read the back of the book. We win.
Amen. Amen. All right, everybody. My name is Leonard Olivares, and this is Getting Understanding Podcast. Thank you, and God bless.
Some may say I'm not a human, nothing but a fetus, even though my heart does beat. I have ears, I have eyes, and it is no surprise, like you, I have hands and feet. God made me just like he made you and everyone else. You don't want me, cause you're just selfish, thinking about yourself. You believe I'm not a person, and I don't have any worth. Growing peacefully, I'm supposed to be in the safest place on earth, yeah. There are other ways you should think about,
yeah.
Now you explore your options. Don't throw me away, let me live my life. Put me up for adoption.
Put me up for adoption.
Yes, I am a human, listen to my heartbeat. God made me just like you do what's right. I deserve to live like everybody else.
Yeah.
Take me be your body, but it's my
life. They say it is your body, and it is your choice to do what you want to do.
But I am not your body, I'm a little person living inside of you. God made me just like he made you and everyone else. You don't want me, cause you're just selfish, thinking about yourself. You believe I'm not a person and I don't have any worth. Growing peacefully, I'm supposed to be in the safest place on earth.
There are other ways you should think about. I hope you explore your options. Let me live my life.
Oh.
Put me up for adoption. Yes, I am a human. Listen to my heartbeat. God made me just like you do what's right. I deserve to live like everybody else.
Yeah.
It may be your body, but it's
check it.
My
nearly 57
life.
Mil killed by Planned Parenthood. In the name of women's healthcare, really up to no good. They should all be prosecuted for the crimes they committed. Selling baby parts for profit. On tape, they did admit it. I don't get it. You claim it's not a life growing inside. Even though it has a heartbeat, ears, nose, feet, and eyes. And X and Y chromosomes tell us if boy or girl. Not a life down here on earth, but it will be on up the world. Use terms like abortion and fetus, but it's crazy. Cause abortion equals murder and fetus equals baby. The reason why you use these words so you feel no remorse and leave behind your guilty conscience, go about your course.
There are other ways you should think about. I hope you explore your options.
Please explore your options.
Let me live my life.
of adoption.
Yes, I am a human. Listen to my heartbeat. God made me just like you. Do what's
do
right.
Do what's
I
right.
Like everybody else.
I deserve to live.